case, which is United States versus McGill. Ms. Winslow?
Morning. Your Honor, the issue in this case comes down to the finite question, in my opinion, as to whether or not the jury should have been instructed as to the entrapment defense. It's been the government's position throughout this case that absent a finding of entrapment as a matter of law, the jury should not have been instructed. But in this case, there was sufficient evidence, there was sufficient record that the district court should have instructed the jury on the entrapment defense. That, I think, is the sole issue in this case. This court has found very clearly, held very clearly in Santiago versus Garinas, that proof need not be so overwhelming as to establish entrapment as a matter of law. The overwhelming question is on predisposition. In this case, the district court very correctly found that there was no evidence of predisposition. We have two sets of evidence, and I want to try to keep them very clear in order to answer your question. One is psychological evidence that was introduced at sentencing, which I don't think is relevant to this inquiry as it post-stated the question before the district court. Then there's the evidence as to his anxiety that was in front of the district court, and I think there is evidence. It doesn't come in the form of a psychological report, but it comes in the form of his conversations not only with Mr. Elliott, who was the cooperating individual in this case, but also his conversations that the government provided in other text messages and instant messages that he engaged in with other individuals. He very clearly says to Mr. Elliott on a number of different occasions that he is just, he's racked with anxiety about having other individuals over to share child pornography. He's racked with concern about even talking to other individuals about his child pornography. He says to Mr. Elliott, and this is pointed out, I think, in both of our briefs, that you're the only person I can talk to about this. Clearly, he expresses anxiety over and over again about whether or not his roommate or the roommate's boyfriend will become aware that he's involved in looking at child pornography on the internet. So I think there is sufficient. In fact, I think there's a great deal of evidence that he did experience extreme anxiety with respect to this finite portion of his life. And in that, it's the same vein, and I'm not sure it's entirely relevant on appeal because I don't think it was an issue that was appealed by the government. Well, it wasn't an issue. But this question of predisposition and the government's position that his well-documented, as they say, interest in young boys is evidence of predisposition. It's not. It's evidence of predisposition to view or even possess child pornography, but certainly not for the distribution. His request for the entrapment defense went only to the distribution offense. And in this case, there is ample evidence that given the opportunity to exchange child pornography with other individuals previously, he declined. Congress clearly thought that there was a difference in this activity based on the penalty structures that it established for possession and distribution of child pornography. Clearly, Mr. McGill agreed that there was a difference. He never denied. He hasn't throughout this case.
When you say he declined, was he actually asked for share his child pornography with his pals?
Well, Judge, this is what we know. The answer is I don't know the answer to that question, but I can infer that he was and declined. And here's how I can infer. There was a previous, they refer to it as a party, I think that might overstate the case, but there was a previous gathering of individuals at the residence of a person, Mr. Peppers. that person was prosecuted in another case. That was a gathering where individuals were instructed to and did, in fact, bring their collections of child pornography to share with one another. Mr. McGill, the evidence is undisputed, did not. If we were to take the evidence in the light most favorable to the government would have us believe that Mr. McGill had a collection of child pornography at that time that he did not bring to that gathering. So I think the inference is strong that, yes, he did have the opportunity, there was a direct opportunity, and he declined. There's also a number of instances throughout the recorded and documented conversations that make up most of the evidence in this case where Mr. Elliott was requesting that he provide him with child pornography that he bring to another gathering. Mr. McGill declined repeatedly to attend this gathering. Perhaps he didn't decline in the way that we might wish that an individual would say, no, I will not come to your gathering, I do not distribute child pornography, but that's not the normal vernacular of individuals when they're speaking unbeknownst to them that they're being recorded. He made up excuses. He became ill, and then he became well again. He went camping, and then he declined to go camping. And that is one of the ways, the avoidance that he, in which he exhibited his distaste for exchanging child pornography with one another. As I say, perhaps it'd be easier if he just simply said it in the way that lawyers would, but for the most part, they're not lawyers. Well,
his problem was his situation. It seems that he didn't want to socialize, didn't have. Elliot shows up and he's comfortable with him, at least. That's why he was distributed, I guess, all of his he had and gave it to Elliot. Now, that's the distribution.
Judge, I think you could not be more on point. That is exactly the question in this case. Mr. Elliott was the one person, and as the district court found, Mr. Elliott was the one person on earth to whom Mr. McGill would distribute these images. The reason being, Mr. Elliott and Mr. McGill had a separate relationship, separate from everyone else in Mr. McGill's life, which was not a vast universe. It was a small universe, but he was the only person with whom Mr. McGill had shared this interest. He was the only person.
But Elliot has an assignment.
Pardon me?
He has an assignment.
He does have an assignment. And he carried out
like
that assignment.
Like a salesman, right? So he's, he's got an incentive to.
I think he was, the government disagrees, but I think he was very persistent in his assignment as well. I mean, repeatedly, Mr. McGill will step away from meeting up with Mr. Elliott, and Mr. Elliott will step back at him, again presenting the question, is this person the only person in my life with whom I have shared this interest, the only person in my life who knows about my terrible secret? This person is, in essence, our relationship is being threatened. Whereas I understand that's not the normal medium of exchange, not the normal inducement in an entrapment case, I don't think that inducement can just be narrowed down to profit. It's not always $1 million to a person on the verge of homelessness. In this case, the inducement was a very real psychological impact on Mr. McGill, who was in both a fragile mental state and experiencing a different form of inducement. But nonetheless, it is just as strong. He did not have a predisposition. We believe that the jury should have been instructed.
There was no psychiatric or psychological evidence.
There was psychological evidence presented at sentencing.
Right.
No, yes. And I want to be clear that was after. But no, not prior to that. Not prior to that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Winslow. Ms. Tracy?
May it please the court, counsel, my name is Tiffany Tracy and I represent the United States. The district court, having heard all the evidence in the case, correctly denied the defendant's proposed entrapment instruction because there was no evidence of government inducement. And in denying the instruction...
Well, wait a second. Elliot is the government for these purposes.
Yes, Your Honor.
And he induced the distribution?
No, Your Honor. The Elliot in this case, the confidential informant, in fact, did not even initiate the discussion of distribution of child pornography. if you look at the record in that very first recorded phone call that took place only after the defendant had contacted Elliot a number of times, in that first recorded phone call, it was then that the defendant first brought up his own interest in child pornography, in which the defendant told Elliot that he had been downloading child pornography, to use his words, like a fiend, that he had used file sharing. And at that point, it was Elliot who said that he had recently deleted his own collection of child pornography out of fear, but Elliot made it clear that he intended to reestablish his collection through another person, not through Mr. McGill. Elliot said that he was going to reestablish his connection from another so-called boy lover named Jose Garcia. At that moment, if you look at the record, it is then that Mr. McGill offers, unsolicited, he says, well, I could, quote, hook you up a little bit. And it was then, and only then, that Mr. Elliot responded, oh, so you have some to contribute. So what the record bears out here is that after Mr. McGill had already, in the first recorded phone call, not after, as the defense
has persisted,
but
this is after being told by Elliot that that Elliot is going to make this stuff safer by dealing with this fellow Garcia?
No, what he said, Your Honor, is, I just got rid, and I'm using words to the effect here, I just got rid of my child pornography collection. Elliot said that he was spooked and that he deleted all of it. What he said was, but no worries, I'm going to go to our friend Jose Garcia, and Jose's going to reestablish my collection for me. That's when Mr. McGill jumped in and said, no, you don't need to do that. I could hook you up.
Wait, McGill said you don't need to do that?
He said, I could hook you up a little bit, and I can read you directly.
Yes, but why isn't that consistent with his being reassured by Elliot? Elliot's pornography will now be safe because of this fellow Garcia. So if McGill gives him pornography, McGill will be safe.
I guess I don't understand, Your Honor, what you mean by safe.
Well, Elliot is saying that his pornography from now on is going to be safe because he's going to be dealing with Garcia. He's destroyed his existing collection, but he's getting a new collection from Garcia, and that will be safe for some reason. Okay? So McGill now has reassurance that if he gives pornography to his friend Elliot, it'll be safe because of Garcia.
I think if you look at the context of the conversation, there was no discussion of whether it would be safe for McGill to give his collection to Mr. Elliot. Because all that Mr. Elliot was saying was, I got rid of my stash, but I'm getting it from someone else.
Because he was nervous.
Yes.
Now he's dealing with Garcia. Not nervous anymore. That's why he's going to Garcia. So he is telling McGill, your pornography that you give me will be safe because now we're dealing with Garcia.
I don't think that's the context of the conversation. He wasn't saying that my pornography will be safe because
he doesn't have to say it. But why is he going to Garcia?
He's going to Garcia because he knows Garcia's pornography.
He's nervous, so he's going to Garcia.
No, I think if you read the conversation,
Look,
Your Honor...
Why isn't that something for the jury to interpret?
Because here, Your Honor, considering the context of the entire conversation, there was no government inducement here. Here you have a defendant, namely Mr. McGill.
Elliot is an inducement. He's a government... Look, what I don't like about your position is you are really making the kind of argument for giving people psychiatric tests. And if you conclude that these people are going, some point in their life, they're going to distribute child pornography, you put them in jail, right? Because here's a person, McGill, who has, so far as we know, has never distributed child pornography. Now we have a government agent who is trying to get him to distribute child pornography. That's the government agent's assignment. What I consider to be lawful entrapment is removing a criminal from circulation, not creating a new criminal.
Here, Your Honor, he was already
there
a criminal.
There is no reason to think that he would ever have distributed child pornography if it hadn't been for Elliot.
That's not correct, Your Honor, and here's why. He was already a criminal. He had already downloaded and possessed.
He wasn't a distributor. We're talking about distribution.
But he's not an unwary innocent because he had already committed the crime of possessing and viewing child pornography and, in addition to that, attending.
Wait a second. You can't take the position that because someone has committed one crime, the government can induce him to commit another crime.
I'm not
so
taking
that position.
So forget
about the possession. We're talking about distribution.
What I'm
there is no reason that I can see that you would take away from a jury the question whether this guy would ever have distributed child pornography if it hadn't been for the government agent.
But here what was in front of the court, Your Honor, and what I was trying to, and I agree with you, I agree with what you're saying. What I'm saying is when you look at the totality of who Mr. McGill was at the time that Elliot approached him, Mr. McGill is someone who had attended a distribution party before. He had engaged in file sharing. He had collected and amassed.
He attended the distribution party with nothing to distribute.
Well, we don't know that, Judge. The record is silent. What Mr. Elliott testified to.
What do you mean? You're supposed to have the burden of proof, right? I don't understand this.
Well, at the
if it goes
at the entrapment
to the jury,
stage,
you have burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. That, of
that's
course,
correct.
Why you don't want these cases to go to a jury.
No, the reason that this case.
No, you don't want these cases to go to a jury where you're going to have the burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Obviously.
On this issue, Your Honor, where you have someone who offered to distribute child pornography in the very first phone call and you had this particular background, this was a situation that the law recognizes.
But don't you see how a lawyer could argue to a jury the reason that McGill felt comfortable with distribution was that for the first time in his life and maybe the last time, the circumstances suggested that he'd be doing a favor for his friend, his only friend, because he's a loner, and he wouldn't be caught.
No. First, the evidence shows that he was not a loner. In fact, in those recorded calls, he mentioned numerous friends that he had that also engaged in child pornography viewing and distribution. Jose Garcia, JJ Chicago, whom he said in these calls that he had
but
spent time with for this purpose.
But these other people at the distribution conference, they're distributing. He's not distributing. He's shy, right? He's scared.
Mr. Elliott was definitely, as to use the district court's words, discreet. He was careful, but that does not mean he's an unwary innocent.
But he's never distributed the stuff before.
There is no evidence in the record that he had distributed before. The only evidence in the record was that he had attended a distribution party and that he had engaged
without his pornography.
We don't know whether he brought. The record is silent on that.
Why don't you just concentrate on people who are known to be distributors?
Here in this case, what we
because you're hiring all these crooks, and it's very much in their interest to recruit new crooks so they can get a lighter sentence.
This is not, but that's not the case.
That's
in this
what
case,
you do.
Your
Honor. That's what the government is doing.
Mr. Elliott was part of a boy lovers group. They called themselves that.
There's
these are people.
There's a difference between possession and distribution.
I agree with you.
There is no evidence that this guy would ever have distributed stuff if it hadn't been for Elliott.
The evidence that you can look to, Your Honor, is the defendant's own behavior in the very first recorded call between
but
the defendant
you're
and Elliott.
But you're leaving out Garcia. You're leaving out the fact, why is Elliott telling him about Garcia?
I want to make sure that we're clear on what happened.
You answer my question. Why is he telling him about Garcia?
The reason he mentions Jose Garcia, if you look at the phone call, and I encourage the court to read that phone, the entirety of that phone call, Jose Garcia was another boy lover with whom Mr. Elliott and Mr. McGill had spent time with in the past. All that Mr. Elliott was saying to Mr. McGill was, hey, a friend of ours just got arrested, Donald Peppers. I got spooked. I deleted my collection, but I'm getting it from our pal, Jose Garcia. In essence, what he's saying, Your Honor, is I'm good. I don't need anything. I have someone else to get it from. He's not encouraging Mr. McGill to give anything to him. He's not asking Mr. McGill to give anything to him. In fact, Mr. Elliott never did because he didn't have to. Because Mr. Elliott is the person who offered his collection unsolicited.
Did he make it up? Was he telling the truth?
No, he was not telling the truth.
Why did he make it up?
Your Honor, he was not. I don't know. The record is silent on
that. Well, I think I have a pretty good idea. I think the reason he said it was to make McGill feel safe. You admit it's a fabrication.
Yes.
You don't know what the motive is.
Well, certainly, Your Honor,
a jury might think, you know, that fabrication was intended to make McGill seems safe, feels safe.
But with the law, there's no evidence in the record that, that the reason behind it was to make him feel safe. In fact, the evidence suggests that it was to say, I don't need any child pornography from you. I am getting it from someone else. But what the law says, Your Honor, is that the government is allowed to make the suggestion. And what the district court found here is that if you could even say that this was much of a suggestion by the government, it was hardly a suggestion at all.
So you think it's fine to rope in people who've never committed the particular crimes you're interested in, would never, and for all we know, would never have committed it if it hadn't been for a government agent? That seems to me an extraordinary waste of Department of Justice resources.
I don't
think... Of course, it's easy for you. You much prefer to entrap people, because then you have you have all the evidence before you do an investigation.
What we have here, Your Honor, is a confidential informant telling us there is this man named Mr. McGill, Mark McGill, who is a member of a boy lovers club. He has viewed pornography. He has possessed pornography in the past. We have here someone,
Mr. McGill.
What was
Elliot's reward for this?
Mr. Elliot was doing this in the hopes of receiving a reduced sentence. And
did he receive a reduced sentence, or
he
has
did.
He been sentenced?
He has been sentenced, Your Honor.
He has been?
He has been sentenced.
Did he get a break?
He did get a break.
How much of a break?
I believe it was 33% off of the...
He got a 33% discount just for McGill, or does he have other
people? No, Your Honor. He provided substantial cooperation against several individuals, including Jose Garcia, a producer of child pornography and someone who had molested
children. So was
the
33% just for McGill or for his whole...
His entire cooperation against several boy lovers that were charged here in the Northern District.
How many did he nail?
I believe, I'm sorry, I'm counting in my head. There's Corey Steinfast, Your Honor. You were present during the Seventh Circuit argument several weeks ago. Mr. Steinfast, Mr. Jose Garcia, both had molested children, produced and distributed child pornography. And there were several others in Missouri. They were all part of the same boy love. They called themselves the Boy Lovers Club. They had met.
So his 33% was from all his Boy Lover Club.
It was for his substantial cooperation as a result of a number of cases.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll ask that you affirm the district court's decision.
Your Honor, first of all, I'd like to point out that visiting a file-sharing site doesn't mean, in the common sense of the term sharing, that one must upload to download. So the mere fact that he went to a site that may refer to a file-sharing site, there's nothing, no evidence in the record and or in practical experience to suggest that he couldn't just simply download as opposed to uploading. Secondly, I would point Your Honor's attention to transcript at page 176 for the evidence that Mr. McGill did not bring any child pornography to the event that he had previously attended. In this case, I agree with the government on one point, and that is that the context and the text of the first phone conversation is very important. I think it's clear from reading that in with a common sense approach that Mr. McGill did not, in fact, offer to provide child pornography. What he said is, I could hook you up a little bit, but he probably has everything I want. Again, one wishes that people spoke saying exactly what they meant, but clearly the underscored a point in that particular conversation was that he did not believe he needed to give
him. Well, what he said was, if I'm quoting from the right conversation, I could hook you up a little bit, but he's probably got like far more than I do.
That's correct. That's correct, Your Honor.
That's the closest he comes to. Yeah, I got a little bit, but he's got everything I got.
In other words, diminishing his own collection, in enhancing the collection of the other individual, making less distribution from himself less attractive. If there's no further questions, I will sit down and thank you, Your Honors, and we believe that this case should be remanded with instructions that the court instruct the jury on the entrapment offense. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not, Ms.
McGill? I am, Your Honor.
Okay, so we thank you for your efforts on behalf of your client. We thank Ms. Tracy as well. Last case for argument.